Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right, you are listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. in the studio with my lovely wife and co-host, Kimberly. We're going to be bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. Kim, I'm back in the studio. You're back with me. I was gone for quite a few days there.
Yes, I got a lot of work done at home.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the work. Now, our son, vaccine injured, he's got virals, vaccine-induced regressive autistic-like symptoms, which doctors call autism. About 65% recovered, and you feel, and I know to trust your mommy gut, you feel that there are just a few last little things that are keys to the puzzle. Why don't you explain what you're talking about and what you've been doing while I've been on the road?
Well, when it comes to Caden, he's definitely a virals kid. He has immune issues. He had lots of ear infections as a baby for various reasons. And for that reason, I feel that his gut microflora is completely messed up. Now, we have healed his gut. He doesn't have leaky gut syndrome anymore. He doesn't have the exploding diarrhea that he had for 4 years. We've healed him of that. And we've also gotten him to eat raw fruits and veggies. His diet's completely changed. He was a carb junkie. All he would eat was, you know, French fries, crackers, bread. We did the gluten-free, casein-free diet. Helped heal his gut. Worked on his immune system. And now I feel, due to research that I've done, that what we need to work on is his gut microflora. And in order to do that, I've decided to go down the path of healing with food. That's where I feel he needs the work, is to heal through food. So I'm working on doing fermenting.
And so while I was gone this weekend, you did quite a bit of work in regards to fermenting and kefir. And
I made kombucha. I made water kefir. I made sourdough bread, and I made sauerkraut. Now, the only thing that's ready, because I started this on Saturday, the only thing that's ready right now is the water kefir, and I'm flavoring it for 24 hours in an airtight pitcher, so it will get a little bit of fizz, so it'll be almost like soda pop. But it's full of beneficial bacteria and yeast and enzymes. We have to start low and slow, like we do with everything with Caden. We always do a quarter of a dose on everything just to see how he's going to react. So we're just going to give him about a quarter of a cup of the water kefir to begin with. And just work on that and see how it goes. Once the sauerkraut's ready, I'm just going to give him like a tablespoon a day. Because he loves store-bought sauerkraut. So I can only imagine that he's going to love this homemade sauerkraut.
I know I'm going to love it. I'm a huge fan of sauerkraut, and I'm really looking forward to it. Now, the first conference I went to with Box Organics was the Weston A. Price conference, and they had the kombucha, almost like you were talking about, Kim, soda pop type stuff, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I had like 3 bottles of it, though, so my gut started gurgling a little bit, but It was fabulous. I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, and as far as the kombucha, I started it in a mason jar because I had to rehydrate the SCOBY. It is how you make the kombucha. And I started it in a mason jar. But then after you talked to me and said, oh, I just love this and I can drink it all the time and I think the kids are going to love it, I ordered a continuous brew system. So I won't have to move the mushroom from jar to jar because it can get contaminated. I ordered a continuous brew system that you just leave the mushroom in. And when you drink so much, you just add more sweetened tea to it and it will just continue to brew. And you can actually, it's got a spigot and you can put it in.
Kind of like a sun tea thing.
Yeah, you can put it in bottles and flavor it. So that's my plan. That's what we're going to do.
I'm really looking forward to it. So while you were busy this weekend, I was busy as well at the Natural Health Freedom Expo, and we had the Box Organics booth there. Maria was there. Joni Cox was there, and we had a great time. I finally got to meet Liam Sheff, who's been on the show a couple of times. That was fabulous. The only presentation that I actually got to hear was Liam's, and it was fabulous. We had a great time there, and so we've all been pretty busy. Now, here's another thing that went on. Oh, I guess it was Friday night. Joni Cox called me. She wasn't there yet at the Health Freedom Expo.
And Joni Cox is the host of Homegrown Health here on naturalnewsradio.com.
Right, and my producer. And she let me know that she was looking at her name, Googling her name, and found out that her show was on a Boston radio station. And then she told me about it, and I Googled it and checked it out. And sure enough, we're on a Boston AM and FM station. Now, this show airs Monday through Friday, so that particular show airs Tuesday through Saturday. Well, I'm going through my little Google thing, and God, you know, most of it is Alex Jones stuff on the first, like, 10 or 15 pages. There were, like, 74,900 hits on my name. And I'd say a good 75% of them were all the Alex Jones things, okay? So I'm looking and I find this thing on the Rally for Parental Rights. And it's this blog talking about how horribly it was attended. And there was this jamoke named Kirk Linderman that wrote on his blog that it was well attended and blah, 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 and what a jackass he is, and on and on about what a pathetic thing it was, with the keynote speaker being the discredited and the fraud Dr. Wakefield and blah, blah, blah. So I had to comment. And then I've been busy for a couple of days fighting with these idiot morons on this blog. Now, I'm not even going to say the name of the blog because I don't want to give them any
No,
press
because the
whatsoever.
Only people that are commenting on, when you do comment are, they're just trolls. They're just people
well,
who
not
spend
trolls.
Their entire day discrediting people who believe their child has been vaccine injured.
No, that's not the case with this blog. This guy is like really anti-religious. He's this, just this probably stone-cold liberal idiot freak. But it was just this one post that was about, it was just him going down there. He'd heard about it, and he wanted to see what all the hype was about, and he wrote this blog. Most of what I've seen on his blog since, I went to his blog like today, and he's just a very anti-religious, pro-gay.
I just meant the
gay.
People that are commenting.
No, they're all friends of his, because it's just a little, like, hometown Chicago blog. They're all friends of his, but they're all ganging up on me because they're all like-minded morons that believe whatever the government says is true, when it or gospel, if you will, when it but seemingly only when it comes to vaccines. When it comes to, you know, gay rights or religious freedoms or anything, the government's like the worst thing in the world. But suddenly when it comes to vaccines, the government can be trusted like nobody's business. So it's really ridiculous, and I've wasted a couple of hours each day the past couple of days dealing with these morons. And, you know, I haven't done that in a long time because I do realize it gets to the point where you're just wasting a bunch of time. But the one thing that I wanted to discuss about that is the fact that all they do is push their government tripe. And you can't fight against that. You can't, because these people believe that the government would not lie about something like this. Although this kind of person, I could tell, believes the government lies about war, about everything else, you know. But when it comes to this, they just wouldn't lie, and there's just no fighting them. You know, they think I'm not making any sense. I know they're not making any sense. It's just incredibly ridiculous. I made the comment about the SV40 virus and how it's found in brain tumors and how it's found in 40% of the cases of mesothelioma. And they came back with this government study that says that that's all a lie. So I'm just this moron that needs to do my research. And come on, man, this is a life and death thing. And grow the hell up and put down your pacifier and all this stupid crap. And it just drives you crazy when people could be so brainwashed. And that's why I've kind of kept it up and kept the fires going. But it really is just a getting to a point of absurdity. You know, you just can't win against these people because they cannot listen. They just, it's not in them.
No, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Well, yeah, and you know, I tried to give them, you know, I've not given them studies because I know how that is. You give them a study, you give them a story from this website or this website, and suddenly it's, oh, well, you're just getting that from your side and everything. I'm like, yeah, what the hell are you doing? And I know many in the autism community and many in the natural health community have experienced this time and time again, whether it's fighting online about GMOs or about home birth or about vaccines or pharmaceuticals in general or homeopathy or naturopaths, whatever it is, you just can't fight against these people. They're so brainwashed.
No, you're just
it's
chasing
ridiculous.
Your own tail and wasting your time. You're just going to get really tired of chasing your own tail.
Exactly. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about right before we go to break is this farm bill that's about to be voted on. And there are some things in this farm bill that we're going to be talking about after the break as well, regarding horse slaughter, that's got Kim fired up once again, and rightfully so. If you were appalled last fall when congressional leaders worked behind closed doors with agribusiness lobbyists to craft a secret farm bill, and then disgusted this spring when the discovery of government subsidies paying for pink slime fed to our nation's school children went viral, you should be outraged over the current debate unfolding in Washington, D.C. over the 2012 Food and Farm Bill in a matter of a few hours. And by the time this show airs, they're going to be voting on this. The Senate will begin voting on vital amendments to the Food and Farm Bill, also known as Agriculture Reform, Food and Jobs Act of 2012. As it stands now, the bill needlessly cuts vital nutrition and conservation programs and provides a massive boondoggle for crop insurance companies that will cost taxpayers billions of dollars every year while putting our environment at risk. It's vital that we tell our senators that we need a farm bill that works for the American people. Now, this comes from Food Democracy Now. And now this is what Food Democracy is asking to be placed in the bill. And I'm going to put this link on the Linderman Unleashed Facebook page, because you have a link to where you can immediately contact your personal senator. Now, it's at the Senate. And what that means is it's already gone through the House. Okay? The 2012 Food and Farm Bill should be about creating health food for America's citizens, providing safety nets for family farmers, and protecting our soil, land, and environment for the future, not larding agribusiness and corporate lobbyists with billions in government handouts. Here are a list of the amendments that Food Democracy Now! And our allies for a healthy, sustainable food system are supporting today. Please make sure that your senators hear about your support for them today. Please call your own senators today and tell them that you support these amendments. The Gillibrand Amendment, number 2156, restores funding for vital nutrition programs and limits excessive payments to crop insurance companies. Chambliss Amendment, number 2438, links the receipt of federally subsidized crop insurance to basic conservation requirements. The Durbin-Coburn Amendment, number 2439, limits the amount of insurance subsidies for the wealthiest farmers. The Merkley Amendment, number 2382, creates an organic crop insurance program that is offered to organic farmers. Sanders Amendment, number 2310, allows states to label genetically engineered foods. And Brown Amendment, number 2445, provides mandatory funding for beginning farmer and rancher development. And you know what amazes me here is these are all Democrats that are pushing these good bills for farm, but yet when it comes to vaccines, they literally vote to poison children. That really amazes me. There's something wrong with that picture. There really is. There's no difference from the GMOs to vaccines. They're both killing people. It's all there is to it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Are you frustrated with surging grocery prices and the very real possibility of empty grocery store shelves? If the food transportation system were disrupted, how long could you and your family live on the food in your home pantry? Being prepared for what life might throw your way provides a tremendous peace of mind. A home food store is the perfect insurance against the unknown and the unforeseen. It often seems like a daunting task to start, store, and use your food storage. Beth Dunsing, an independent consultant with Shelf Reliance, offers you an easy and healthy solution. Thrive Foods. Thrive Foods are healthy, delicious, GMO-free foods with no additives, no preservatives, and a long 20 to 30 year shelf life without refrigeration. Foods so delicious, you will want to use them every day. Beth will help you use the free online planning tools to customize a food storage plan that fits your family, your budget, and your space. Guarantee that you will never look into the eyes of a hungry loved one and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Food is key to your family's survival. To receive a personal password to guarantee you receive the low Linderman Unleashed pricing, send an email to me at lindermanunleashed@hotmail.com. Get started today.
Hey folks, it's Kurt Linderman, host of Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com. Are you a parent who wants to educate your children on vaccine issues so that they are equipped with the truth when faced with peer and social pressures from the pro-vaccine crowd? Are they prepared to deal with the pro-vaccine messages from the media found in cartoons, schools, and commercials? Are you a professional in need of a quick reference for your patients regarding vaccine ingredients, side effects, and exemptions? If so, No Vaccines for Me is for you. No Vaccines for Me is
the first interactive family book written as a resource for like-minded parents and professionals who choose not to vaccinate. No Vaccines for Me is written in an easy-to-read format with great illustrations. No Vaccines for Me facilitates discussion and educates readers of all ages, especially children. No Vaccines for Me books and t-shirts can be ordered at NoVaccinesForMe.com. NoVaccinesForMe.com. Educate yourself, educate your children. NoVaccinesForMe.com.
Are you concerned about the food supply, including GMOs in your family's diet? With pesticides, herbicides, and questionable additives like MSG, high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, and food dyes in most foods on the market today, you should be. Well, now there's an affordable alternative to high retail organic food prices. Announcing Box Organics, created by two families with children affected by autism that were not only concerned with the toxic ingredients in our conventional diets, but equally concerned with the high cost of providing their family nutritious organic foods. Box Organics offers USDA certified organic fruit, vegetables, dairy, dry goods, and meats delivered fresh, not frozen, directly to your door. We're an online store offering you substantial savings on the organic food that you want at your convenience. Ordering is easy. Box Organics currently offers free shipping in 15 states with a minimum purchase. Visit boxorganics.com. That's organics with an X.com today. Box Organics. Think and eat outside the box.
Hey Obama, the Lindermans refuse to lower their standards, so up yours. And now, back to Linderman Unleashed.
Two flags fly above my land and really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave.
That's right. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman, Sr., in the studio with my lovely wife and co-host, Kimberly. Now, there's something in the farm bill that Kim really holds near and dear to her heart. It's pissing her off, something terrible. It has to do with horse slaughter. Kim, tell us a little bit about it. I'll move this over to the other screen so you can see it more easily.
Well, there are no horse slaughter facilities in the United States right now. They're in Mexico and they're in Canada. And 130,000 U.S. horses are shipped there for slaughter every year.
And most of that meat is going... pretty much is going overseas. Although there has been talk about it ending up on our store shelves labeled as beef.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's what they say. If they can call pink slime beef.
Right. They can call horse beef.
Well, yeah. What's going to stop them? And what they're trying to do right now, what the people who are against horse slaughter are trying to do right now, horses are given certain drugs.
Right.
You know, whether they're race horses, whether they're taken to an auction and they drug them to go to the auction.
And there are a lot of drugs just for, like, arthritis in horses and everything that's really bad for you.
Well, and, you know, they give different vaccines to horses. I mean, there's all these different things that right. are given to horses. And right now, we as American taxpayers are paying for inspections of horse meat.
In Canada and Mexico?
Exactly. So what they're trying to do is deregulate inspection of horse meat in the United States. And if they do that, if the horse meat is not inspected, then they can't be slaughtering horses and selling the meat.
And that's one thing that Obama did good, correct? He repealed this or did something? You know more about this. So
no, Obama made it so U.S. inspectors have to inspect the horse meat. And he signed it, 2 years ago he signed it?
2010, I believe it was.
He signed saying that the American taxpayers had to pay for inspection of horse meat. So we've been paying for them to inspect this horse meat of these horses that are being slaughtered.
Even though it's not being done in this country.
Exactly. But in this farm bill, they're trying to make it so it can be done in this country. And there are several places in Missouri where they're wanting to open these slaughterhouses.
Now, Is Obama backing the whole idea of being able to slaughter horses back in this country?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't think he's given a stance on it, but there are several senators who are backing it.
And ours is one of them.
Blunt.
Roy Blunt. Well, and I think when it comes to this, and I don't know how, and, you know, I'm not going to say in any stretch of the imagination that I'm for this bill. I don't know what they're doing with these old horses. I know the whole thing was,
they're not old horses.
I know that's the key to this thing, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I think if it were older horses, and I mean, we bury our horses, you know, but the whole idea of these horses being hunted down and being sold for scrap, basically, and they're young and they could make some kids happy and they could make some families happy, is really sad.
It's a national disgrace is what it is.
It really is. And you've even been watching some videos, and I'm going to post these videos on the Linderman Unleashed Facebook page of them running down these Mustangs, these wild Mustangs, and running. And this is our government running down these wild Mustangs with helicopters, trying to herd them, and running these pregnant mares and foals to the point where they just drop dead.
Yes, they do. It's on the videos. It's disgusting, and it's the Federal Land Bureau Management who's doing it. These are government helicopters, and then there's government-paid employees on horseback, and they're rounding up these Mustangs who have lived wild here longer than we have.
And that's incredibly sad that's going on. I just can't imagine. I mean, why in the hell would we do that? And you made the mention when we were talking about it earlier before the show, Kim, that it comes back to the War of the Hay Burners.
Exactly, because one of the articles that I read was written about the sheep people and the cattle ranchers, and how they're saying, you know, these horses are destroying the ecology, you know, we don't have enough grazing for our sheep and our cattle. The horses aren't the ones who are damaging it. The horses are wild. They run free. These cattle and these sheep that are put out, which it's a good thing they're eating grass. I don't want to say that it's a bad thing.
Right.
But the horses aren't the ones who are the problem.
Yeah. And
there's a lot more cows than sheep. Then there are horses.
Right, but that's because we eat cows and sheep. I mean, I could see that, but, you know, the whole idea that we're just going to round these horses up, these perfectly healthy horses, and slaughter them for meat is just really bothersome to me. And, I mean, I'm looking at a picture right now of a horse, and it's got, like, the cuts of meat.
Like they do for a cow.
Yeah.
It's despicable.
And, you know, we built this country on horses. We didn't build this country on cattle. We ate them, yes, but this country was built by horseback, on horseback, and it's incredibly sad that we're taking these majestic animals and just throwing them away now that we've grown up and gotten cars and trains and planes. You know, it's just really sad to me. Now, the key here, however, when we want to talk about food safety, is the drugs that are in this horse meat, okay? And this is not just race horses. Now, this particular article is from Forbes, and it's by Vickery Eckhoff, who is a Forbes contributor. And the title of the article is, How Safe Is That Horse Meat? Horse meat is often described as tender, lean, slightly sweet to the taste, and somewhere between grass-fed beef and really good elk or venison in taste. It is prized by mothers as baby food in places like Italy and Japan, and especially sought after by athletes as a lean, high-protein, red meat perfect for building body condition. So proclaims Sue Wallace, chairman of the International Equine Business Association and CEO of Unified Equine, who plans to open a slaughter plant in Rockville, Missouri. And it features heavy promotion of horse meat as safe, nutritious, and delicious.
She is the devil incarnate.
She even has a Facebook page that promotes horse meat recipes.
She is a disgusting individual.
And I think there's something really shady about her, too. Because she really doesn't have any true backing. this organization is basically her, both of these organizations, the Unified Equine and the International Equine Business Association.
Unified Equine. Now, how does that sound to you?
Sounds like something that's pro-horse.
Exactly. Well, it's not. She
right.
just wants to eat them.
Well, and the whole idea is, from what I'm getting from this article, both of these organizations is pretty much her. And there is one company backing her right now, but she has no board, no, you know, nothing other than one company backing her that's about to back out. The one thing she doesn't say, as she's talking about horse meat recipes on her Facebook page, that's actually designed for horse meat recipes. This isn't her personal page, kind of like the Linderman Unleashed page, okay? She sidesteps all the time one of horse meat's less appetizing virtues, which is cancer. And the reason for that, contaminated horse meat has existed for years, but so far, neither the USDA or FDA have done much to address it, either by alerting consumers or using the government's muscle to keep tainted horses and horse meat out of the food supply. Now, here's the origins of the public health hazard. Americans don't eat horse meat, so its health hazards have long been confined to export markets. Last year, 130,000 horses were slaughtered, their meat sold, as has been happening since the late 1970s, to restaurants and consumers overseas. Now, that's one thing. Why are we suddenly getting pissed about this? Because it's going to happen here in America. We're shipping the horses out since the 1970s.
They're American horses that were slaughtering and selling the meat overseas. Number one, that's despicable and a national disaster. And number two, it's tainted, so we're poisoning people overseas.
Well, we do that with the vaccines every day. But the fact of the matter is, what I'm saying is, I haven't noticed this outrage since the 70s. Maybe there's been small pockets of people that have been outraged, but I haven't noticed any real... Of course, I didn't notice the vaccine outrage until...
Exactly.
You know, now we're horse people. We've got
exactly.
a ranch. So, you know, maybe that has a little bit to do with it. And maybe I'm offending some people that say, hey, I've been talking about this since the 70s. What the hell, Kurt? I'm not sure. This is something that's new to me. That's all I'm saying. That it has been produced for the last 5 years in Canada and Mexico instead of the U.S. has complicated an otherwise straightforward food safety concern. The prevalence of a legal drug in the U.S. horse population that causes fatal cancers in humans. The U.S. official response has been classic, out of sight, out of mind. In other words, the U.S. response is, yeah, we're going to let the ranchers and we're going to let all these people that hunt down these horses or buy these horses dirt cheap and sell them to the slaughter market. We're not going to give a damn because they're being sold overseas. How does, you know, and then everybody wonders why everybody freaking hates America.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, the USDA saying, who the hell cares? It's going over to Japan. It's going over to Europe. I don't care if there's cancerous medicine in there, you know, in the meat. Who cares? So, all that is about to change, however, thanks to a handful of U.S. congressmen and lobbyists who started agitating to reopen U.S. horse slaughter plants even before the last three facilities closed in 2007. So, the bill was passed in 2006. 2007, they started closing down. I believe it's Obama that's kind of set it up to be able to start creating this again. They succeeded. This group of U.S. congressmen and lobbyists took them a while, but they succeeded in November 2011, laying the groundwork for Ms. Wallace's announcement of the plant she is working to open in the tiny dirt-poor town of Rockville, which in 2010 had a population of 166. Ostensibly, she's going to be opening it in the next few months.
And that's right here in Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have to take another quick commercial break. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas,
plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, Doc, why don't you listen to Linderman Unleashed?
You can't handle the truth!
And once again, thanks for staying with us. Linderman Unleashed, beware the Trojan horse. The 2011 reinstatement of USDA funding for horse meat inspection has been completely mischaracterized in the news media as an act of Congress instead of the Trojan pony political scandal that it was.
And a recent poll shows at least 80% of Americans oppose horse slaughter.
Exactly. Well, who? Yeah, I can't imagine any of my friends going, hell yeah, kill them all.
Well, no, but look at these lobbyists and congressmen and this woman, if you even want to call her that, who's not from Missouri.
Right.
She's from Wyoming.
And she's a state congresswoman in Wyoming. And here's the deal. For one thing, if I was a Wyoming person that was out of work, I'd be like, yo, bimbo, why are you sending jobs down to Missouri?
Because Wyoming won't allow it in their state.
I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. It's the same thing with the GMOs. 80, 85, 90% of people say, yeah, label the GMOs. Congress and the lobbies do not give a damn about public consensus. There's no doubt about it. Now, the media has also been negligent in failing to investigate the Trojan horse that the horse slaughter industry has historically been and will again become if the USDA approves inspections of the plant that Miss Wallace and a few silent investors are now trying to ready in order to grab the horse meat business back from EU plants just over our borders. And that's the other thing. In Canada and in Mexico, those are not Canadian and Mexican plants. Those are European plants that have come over to set up shop to eat, to grab our horse meat.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, we're not going to eat it, but it's really sad that that's what's happening. the cowboy poetry writing Miss Wallace, which is really amazing. She writes cowboy poetry, but yet she wants to create a plant that kills horses.
She is a demon spawn from hell. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you what. You're right. The cowboy poetry writing Miss Wallace is writing difficult terrain. For starters, her company, Unified Equine, doesn't yet own the Rockville plant. Now, the Rockville plant used to be a beef processing plant, okay? And in 2011, it was closed down after a recall of 14,000 pounds of beef, and that was due to E. coli contamination. And they shut down that plant, which makes you feel good about the people that were working there before. And you know they're the ones that are going to come back to work there when the horses start getting slaughtered. Unless the USDA agrees to inspect horse meat there, the plant will most likely remain shut, leaving Miss Wallace to seek out other possible locations to slaughter horses. She may also have to rustle up some new investors, given signs that her main business partner, the Belgian meat packer Chevideco, appears to have dropped her. Chevideco is a parent company of Dallas Crown, whose long rap sheet of zoning and environmental violations in Kaufman, Texas, and decades-long abuse of the legal system at the local, state, and federal level ended up costing U.S. taxpayers millions of dollars before the slaughter plant was finally closed under state law. Now, let's get to...
meat of the issue.
The meat of the issue, exactly, pardon the pun, which is drugs, cancer, and the media. Miss Wallace's talent for PR is notable, garnering 5 to 10 news articles per day over the last 2 weeks, most of which echo her high-protein, low-fat health claims, along with other promises of jobs and humane processing of horses without doing much fact-checking. Good fact-checking is essential when it comes to horse slaughter, especially the long list of drugs present in U.S. horse meat, including, and this is the big one because this is the one that is used a lot, phenylbutazone. They call it bute. Now, phenylbutazone causes cancers that are fatal to humans, especially babies. Phenylbutazone is a painkiller used legally by more than 85% of U.S. horse owners to treat everyday soreness and inflammation. It's been banned completely in food-producing animals, including horses, by the Food and Drug Administration and related agencies in Canada, the U.K., and the EU. So, you can't use bute in cows. You can't use bute in any animal that you're going to create for food. But the FDA allows 85% of horse owners to use bute in their horses.
Because we're not supposed to eat them.
But then we turn around and allow them to be shipped across both of our borders to be slaughtered, knowing that that slaughtered animal is going to a dinner table overseas. What's wrong with this picture, folks?
Well, I don't want to be mean, but if you're going to eat horse meat, there you go.
Get what you deserve.
That's right. Sorry now, about your luck.
Okay, interestingly, in 1949, bute was used to treat gout and rheumatoid arthritis in humans, but was later banned when its carcinogenic effects were discovered. So we already know, not from studies on mice or anything, we know that bute is bad for humans because we used to give it
to humans.
And it caused trouble, and they said no more. Hey, let's put it in our horses. And the USDA knows that we're selling our horses and shipping them overseas as meat with 85% apparently of horses in the United States being given this carcinogenic drug. In their report, Association of Phenylbutazone Usage with Horses Bought for Slaughter, a Public Health Risk, Dr. Nicholas Dodman, Dr. Nicholas Blondeau, and Dr. Anne Marini described phenylbutazone's adverse effect on humans, such as aplastic anemia and leukemia. Their lengthy 2010 study, which appeared in the journal Food and Chemical Toxicology, analyzes the presence of bute in slaughter horses, the government's inadequate drug testing methodology, and the USDA's failure to ensure the removal of the vast majority of horses treated with banned substances from the food chain, among other topics. Ms. Wallace and several horse industry professionals loudly challenged the report's findings, arguing that safe withdrawal periods exist for every drug and that drug testing already conducted by slaughterhouses can safely protect consumers. Now, this is what Dr. Marini says is, yeah, there are drug withdrawal periods for most drugs, but they tested this. This drug, Bute, does not have a withdrawal period. It stays in the horse forever.
Right.
That's the key. Withdrawal times may exist for many drugs, says Dr. Marini, but none exist for phenylbutazone. She also stated that while it's true that the U.S. does set safe levels for many contaminants in food, it does not establish safe levels for carcinogens. Well, that's like our, you know, our vaccines. They don't have to test for carcinogens. They know that many of the chemicals in there are carcinogenic, but they just say, well, we haven't tested for it, so we can just go ahead and keep on putting the chemicals in it. This is really sad. It's incredibly sad that you've got this woman who not only, I mean, Montana, that's like one of them states that you just say, wow, that's a cowboy state. That's a horse state. And here is a congresswoman from that state.
No, she's from Wyoming.
Or Wyoming. I'm sorry. Wyoming. My bad there. And here's this congresswoman from this state that is known for horses. She's a cowboy. She writes cowboy poetry, for God's sake. And she is propagandizing the safe and healthy meats of horses, knowing all the while that many of these horses that she wants to slaughter in her new facility down in Missouri are going to be tainted with a carcinogen. And who's to say that once this all happens and we start allowing horse slaughter in this country, that it's not going to be shipped overseas anymore? That it's just going to be a staple.
I don't think it's all shipped overseas now.
Yeah, but I'm talking to where it's just
blatantly in Walmart.
Right.
And in your local Kroger and Hy-Vee or wherever else you shop.
Well,
you're not going to know. You didn't know the pink slime was in there.
Right. Exactly. And I don't know what horse meat looks like, but it can't look too much different.
No, because they eat grass like cows.
Yeah. It can't look too much different than cow meat. Tougher, though, I would think. Horses notoriously move a lot and are a lot more muscular than cows, so I would think it would be tougher. I'm not sure.
I don't know, and I really don't care because I'm never going to eat a horse.
Well, this needs to be picked up on. People need to pay attention to it, and people need to take a look at the links that I put up there so everybody can contact them.
Yeah, you need to see how your congressman stands on this issue and on the farm bill. This is something that we need to pay attention to because not only are sick horses being transported down there, but there was even a descendant of Secretariat that ended up in a slaughterhouse, and somehow they found out and got this descendant out of there. There's race horses that leave the racetrack, and within 6 months, they're at a slaughterhouse. I mean, it's just despicable. And our national treasure of the Mustangs and the wild burros are being rounded up by government helicopters and thrown in semis and traveling for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles with no food and water in horrible condition to be taken to these facilities and slaughtered in horrible ways to be sold for meat.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there's a whole lot of nice handling of these animals down south of the border.
No.
As they're being slaughtered. I can only imagine what those animals are going through. There's on so many levels, this is so wrong. And I just can't understand how any red-blooded, decent American could look at this picture that I'm looking at on this website and not see that majestic animal for something other than a builder of America, and to see the cuts of meat on it, drawn on it, is really sad. It's incredibly sad. I don't know. It bothers the hell out of me. I've got 5 horses right outside of my house right now in my pasture, and I couldn't imagine unless it was a last resort, you know, where we were starving to death and things were really, really horrible, you know, after a post-apocalyptic type thing, could I even imagine eating a horse and just selling horses for slaughter. It's just, I don't know. I can't understand the feeling that I see it. I see it when I go to the horse auctions. I see kill buyers. I know they're kill buyers. And I know the horses that they buy, where they're headed. And it's quite sad, but I mean, I don't know what you can do about it. If I had $100 million and all the acreage I could ever want, I'd just make sure that the kill buyer where I was never got a horse.
Well, I know what you can do about it. You can contact your congressman and make sure that it's in the farm bill that we as taxpayers will not pay to inspect horse meat.
But I think there's, and now I'm going to try to play a little bit of devil's advocate here and be a realist. If there's 130,000 horses going to slaughter every year since 1970, I think we need to have an answer for where those horses go, because we already talk about, Kim, and we see it on the news quite frequently. This is kind of horse country around here. We see people that can't afford to take care of the horses they've already got. What do you do with that influx of another 130,000 horses if we don't ship them off for slaughter? What do you do with them?
So what are they going to start doing? Shipping off cats and dogs that people don't get fixed? Look at all the cats and dogs that end up
they
at the pound. Look
that.
At all the cats and dogs that are strays running around town starving.
They do that. It's called euthanization. They do it now. That's what I'm saying.
If the animal is sick, if the animal is old or sick and the people don't want it anymore, just like you would do with a cat or a dog, that is the more humane thing to do than ship it down to Mexico if it's old or sick and slaughter it and sell its meat for people to eat. How despicable is that?
Well, I'm just saying, so what do you do with the horse after you euthanize it when it's old? We've got 130,000 horses going down there. I would venture to say most of them are not really aged horses. Probably most of them are horses that you could literally sell for somebody to ride and have fun with and, you know, put on a couple of acres of
land. There are rescue organizations all across the country. All you have to do is get on Facebook and put in Horse Rescue Missouri, Horse Rescue Illinois, Horse Rescue blah, blah. Every state has them.
130,000 horses. Don't look at me like I'm Satan right now.
They do it for cats and dogs.
No, but most of the pounds wait 2 to 3 weeks. If the dogs and cats can't be adopted, they euthanize them. I'm playing devil's advocate here. What do you do with an influx of 130,000 horses?
It used to be, if your horse died, you called the people and they came and picked up the body and they took it to the dog food factory. That's what it used to be.
Well, I'm just trying to think. We already see all these horses that are being mistreated and malnourished because people can't afford. I'm just saying, what do you do with 130,000 more?
130,000 horses aren't starving and they round them up and take them down to Mexico and up to Canada to slaughter them. These horses would sell at the auction, and if they didn't, then the person would take it home and they'd take it to the next auction. The kill buyers are there to get a cheap horse. That's why they're there. That's why they're going to our wilderness and rounding up these animals that are running free where they've lived all their lives and throwing them in semi-trucks to take them down to Mexico and up to Canada to kill them and get money for their meat.
Yeah, well,
130,000 horses, if you look at the wild Mustangs, if you look at the horses that they're rounding up in the wild, really it's not that many for as big as the United States is.
Well, I don't know. I think if we're going to talk to our senators about this, if we're going to talk to our politicians about this, our president and what have you, we need to have some answers for them. This is what you could do. This is what would be good for these horses, good for America, good for jobs. You know, hey, how many of them would turn into really good therapy horses. And right
now
we've got one in 54 boys with autism in this country. That's about 2.5 million. How many boys can you get on 130,000 horses in a frickin' year and create some jobs? You got horse training jobs. You've got therapy rider jobs. Train some of these inner city kids to ride horses and become therapy riders and start some riding clinics.
Yeah, there's always an answer instead of slaughtering. There's always an answer.
Exactly.
It's the same with the dogs. You know, they have Pets for Patriots.
Yeah.
They've got the pets that they take into the veterans' homes. They take them into the hospitals where these veterans come back with these brain injuries, and these dogs help them.
How therapeutic would be some of these veterans coming home to go horseback riding?
There you go.
Yeah, there's things that can be done. There's no doubt. I was, you know, like I said, I was just playing devil's advocate.
Don't get my dander up.
I know.
Don't even get my dander up.
All right, we're gonna touch upon one other story. We're gonna touch upon one other story here before we take the break for the day. Now we did talk about this just a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but Natural News has got it on their website today, actually yesterday. Vaccinated children have up to 500% more disease than unvaccinated children. Now, this is one of those that in my arguments today and over the past couple of days, I could have sent them this. It has a link to the actual study, but they would have just said, oh, Natural News, we're not going to pay any attention to that, despite the fact that it's a well-rounded study done by German physicians and researchers that show that vaccinated children have 500% more disease than unvaccinated children. And we're talking the allergies, we're talking the asthma. It's a no-brainer. But yet, how do you get people to pay attention to that and say, holy crap, this is real? I don't see how you couldn't pay attention to this. I was talking about this, I forget who it was that I was talking about this with over the weekend, but it's, and I talk about this quite often, so it could have been a number of people that I talked about this, but how could people not see what's going on? How could people say, yeah, vaccines have been around now in bulk, you know, a lot of vaccines for the last 20 years, and you know what? We're better off for it. How do you see that? How can anybody look at the shape of our kids right now? And you could blame, in fact, the people that I'm arguing with on this website literally said to me after I said vaccines, diabetes, autism, blah, 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 right on down the road, asthma. And they said, these chronic illness are a product of our environment, not vaccines. What the hell are vaccines if they're not a product of our environment? So that's the mindset of these idiotic morons, because it is inculcated, they're brainwashed. It's like somehow ingrained in their brain as a young child when they're going to public school that vaccines are so great that they're not even, they're just a figment of, they're like fairy frickin' dust.
It was ingrained in us. That's why we marched in with our children and held them down while they stuck the 6 needles in them at once.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I wish I had had somebody give me this information before I marched our kids in there, before we marched our kids in there to have that done.
They are not affected. How many of them have a child affected by autism?
None of them.
Well, then they need to shut the front door. Sorry. That's the way I feel about it.
Well, 500% more disease than unvaccinated children. That's what vaccinated children have. We've already touched upon this article, but I just like the headline because it is one of those things. People need to wake the hell up. Just look at the state of our children's health in this country since we've been vaccinated, since the late 80s, and tell me something's not seriously wrong. Is it a product of the rest of the environment? Absolutely. The GMOs, the aspartame, the MSG, the air we're breathing, the water we're drinking, absolutely. But to think that all this is happening, but all of these chronic illnesses that these kids have are immune deficiency diseases or immune-suppressed diseases, and what do vaccines do but screw with the immune system, to think that they're not playing a role is absolute ludicrousy. It's ludicrous. There's no doubt about it. We're going to talk more about that kind of thing tomorrow. I'm not getting involved with these morons anymore. I might put a link to this show for tomorrow so they can hear this. It won't matter anyways. They're just a bunch of idiots. But our listening audience are not a bunch of idiots. They are intelligent as hell. And I hope they listen to this horse thing. Even if you're not a horse owner, a horse lover, something to
you
think
are
about.
Still a taxpayer that is paying for the inspection of tainted horse meat that is being put on dinner tables.
That's
you're
right.
Still paying for it.
So check out the link on Linderman Unleashed Facebook page and start join it. If you haven't joined the Linderman Unleashed Facebook page yet, you need to start doing it because we've got some great giveaways that we're about to start running, and it's going to be if you're a member of the Linderman Unleashed Facebook page is going to be one of the giveaways. So get on as soon as you can if you're not already a member. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, don't forget.
The gloves are off.
Y'all have a good one.